Well, we have spoken to you before about your experience with endometriosis. Can you just remind us about when your symptoms first started, how long you've been living with this condition?
So my symptoms would have started when I was 12. So that is scary because that is coming up to 20 years this year. Makes me feel very old.
And for people who might not understand it, how does endometriosis actually affect your day-to-day life?
Day-to-day life, currently at the minute, it affects it quite a lot, which is often underestimated by anybody that I speak to. So currently, all I do is make sure that I can get to work and then be at work and manage to some level, and then make sure I can get home safely, and then I basically crash out and have to rest and sleep and then do the same. And then the weekend is wiped out by having to rest up and then do the same and repeat.
And when we last spoke, you'd already been through surgery. You've since gone through another surgery.
Yes.
At the time we spoke to you last time, you were still very much searching for answers.
Yeah.
Where are things now for you?
So after I've had the recent scan done here, it would seem that despite the surgery that I had done in May last year, I'm back to where I was when I spoke to you last, a year ago. So although I had excision surgery done in London with one of the leading specialists in the UK.
And that was private?
That was private, yeah. I think I ended up spending around £8,000 to have that done, which used all of my savings. And I haven't been able to repay it currently with having... with the cost of living being as it is and being a single woman, it's not been very easy. But after I spoke to you last, I did go and get a scan done privately, which showed suspected endometriosis. And at the same time, I had one of the gynaecologists on the Isle of Man tell me I didn't have endometriosis, so they would have to basically do another diagnostic laparoscopy, but they couldn't give me a time frame because of theatre restrictions on waiting lists or something. There was some delay at the time.
Let's talk a bit more about your private treatment. What led to you making that decision to spend all your savings to go private?
It was the phone call that I had from the Isle of Man gynaecologist telling me that I didn't have endometriosis that made me think, I can't live like this. Keep having to fight for somebody to listen to me and advocate for me. Because although she went from saying in February last year that I did have it, I had adenomyosis, I had chronic pelvic pain, you name it, I had it. But then off the back of one MRI, which we all know is as good as the equipment and the person reading it and the person doing the report, that came back as fine. But they're subjective. And if we don't have an endometriosis specialist who can assess the results on the report, then it can be missed. And it's quite often known that superficial endometriosis, such as adhesions, doesn't show on any scan. It can only be found once you're performing the surgery, which was what happened in my case.
And you've spoken about how you just want to be listened to.
Yeah.
I mean, how emotionally difficult is that to find yourself in that position?
It has been very draining. Currently, right now, I feel really worn down by the whole situation. I've tried to go through MCALS to make a complaint about my treatment last year, or lack of treatment that I received with the revoking of the diagnosis. Especially now I've got surgery footage to prove that I had it in five places. 20 minutes worth of surgery footage, the report, histology report. I've got all of the proof to show that I was right. And the Isle of Man gynaecologist at the time was wrong.
So when people, when you say people aren't listening, is that through misunderstanding? Is that through them underestimating how debilitating the condition can actually be?
Yeah, I totally agree. They do completely underestimate how debilitating it is, especially to live through on a daily basis. Because it's not just period pain, like you see on like social media and stuff. It isn't just that. It is, well, for me anyway, it is a daily sort of battle to try and make sure I can function, which currently I am barely managing. But because it's an invisible illness that doesn't have a cure, because I look okay, you know, I don't have any crutches or anything to show for it, it's like, oh, she must be fine. But internally, it's like my ovary and uterus is being twisted out of shape. They're all sticking together again. Like, any sort of movement causes quite extreme pain. And yeah, okay, I do an office job, but any movement aggravates it. And yeah, it's difficult. And even if you do say to a doctor or a gynecologist how much pain you're in, I don't think they believe the severity that it is affecting me. Because I can try and say, oh, well, it's on a pain scale, it's a good 8 out of 10, even with the painkillers, and I just get looked at and no response.
I mean, over the past few years that we've known you, we've been speaking to you, you've been trying to navigate the healthcare system. How would you describe that experience overall?
It's like a minefield. For me anyway. Considering it affects 1 in 10 women, I am still astounded by how difficult this has been. If it's such a common condition, why am I being stonewalled at any opportunity to try and get help? I genuinely don't understand. There is one doctor that I have spoken to through meds, and she has been amazing. And she has been the only sort of advocate that I've managed to find, but she's not my regular GP.
So what kind of subspecialist support do you think is currently missing? In an ideal world, if you could implement whatever you wanted to right now, what would that look like?
It would be having access to an endometriosis specialist centre, because it's not just the reproductive organs that it affects. Like, it can affect your bladder, your bowels, your diaphragm. There's severe cases where it's been found in the brain. It is a systemic whole body disease. It's not just reproductive problems. So in an ideal world, having access to a centre where they treat you as a whole patient and implement a multidisciplinary team approach. So if you do need surgery, then they have, you know, a urologist or a bowel specialist to be able to be on hand should you need that involvement. Because I think what quite often happens is in a diagnostic laparoscopy, they assess it, remove what they can, but they don't excise it on island, which is the gold standard of surgical care that we should be able to receive.
Now, you have tried contacting senior figures in the healthcare system, including the health minister, the chief executive of Manx Care. What prompted you to reach out to them?
It was when I made my complaint back in October, because it didn't sit right with me that I'd had my diagnosis revoked off the back of one MRI despite having had symptoms for what are now being 20 years this year. When said gynaecologist did openly say to me in conversation in an appointment that the scans are only as good as the person reading them, and if you don't have an endometriosis specialist reading them, then it will be more likely missed. So, and then having had the surgery done and knowing that I did have it and there is no cure, to then be told by the same local gynaecologist that I was lucky to have been able to have afforded my surgery when I had had a cervical smear come back showing problems, that really didn't sit right with me. It's not as easy as just pulling thousands of pounds out of my pocket just to pay for something. That was my life savings that I've now lost. And offhand comments like that don't help anybody. And I don't see how it's fair that any woman or any person should have to live with chronic pain on a daily basis to the level where it impacts you so much, and yet it's so underestimated. I wanted to try and highlight that to the minister and Theresa Cope as well.
And have you had any responses that you think are satisfactory?
No. Initially, I was informed that my complaint would be taken seriously and every effort would be made to look into it, and they would get back to me.
And how long has that been between the kind of the initial contact and where you are now, I suppose?
Well, I put my complaint in, I think it was around the 22nd of October, 25, and their policy is 20 working days before you would normally get a resolution. And I was informed on the day of when that 20 days was up that my case wasn't going to be resolved and it would take longer. But I have had to contact so many times to try and, you know, I'd go to MCALS, I'd go to the department lead who deals with the gynaecology side of things, health minister, and the CEO of Manx Care, and I've made numerous attempts to try and ask where things are at. And it's now getting to the point where I don't get any response. If I do get a response, it's very brief. And it's the same response that I heard back in December, which is, we're in the process of dealing with it. We'll be dealing with your case in a couple of weeks. We're now 3 months on. That's more than a couple of weeks.
If they were listening to this right now, well, what would you want them to understand about how and what you're going through?
I just wish that they would hear me. And everything that I put in that complaint, it's not really, well, it is a complaint, I suppose, but I've tried to demonstrate how much I am affected on a daily basis. And it's not insignificant. I'm trying my best to function. I'm trying my best to make sure I can work and provide for myself. But I just feel like nobody cares. Nobody's listening. I just keep getting passed off with, oh, you'll be seen in a couple of weeks. But I won't be seen in a couple of weeks because it's for Liverpool to discuss my case with the Isle of Man. So then there's going to be another delay for me to eventually probably find out what they want to do. I genuinely don't understand when I was insured that I would get open and honest communication back in December, why they haven't followed through with that. imagine if it was you or your daughter going through that amount of pain, how would you feel being fobbed off? Just say, oh, we're dealing with it. It'll be dealt with in a couple of weeks. That couple of weeks is time and energy that cannot be got back. And it's just shocking, to be honest. And then the impact that could then be having on my fertility is scary, because the more scarring and adhesions that form is impacting my fertility level. And that's not something that I don't think anybody is considering. And it's scary. The lack of concern that anybody is showing is astounding.
There are various support groups on the islands for people with endometriosis. From your time speaking with those groups or conversations with others, do you get the sense that your experience is unusual, or do you think it's something that many women are going through in terms of the process that you've gone through?
I think, unfortunately, it's a common experience, which is very sad, and it doesn't surprise me. I'm not the minority, I would say.
And what are other women telling you about their experiences with diagnosis or treatment?
I've known of quite a few people who have had to go private to get surgery done. And it was a very similar thing of, oh, well, the Alaman surgeons didn't really find anything, but when I had it done privately, it was deep infiltrating endometriosis and had to have different specialists get involved to perform the surgery, as there was other like bowel involvement, other sort of not sectors but other parts of the body involved, so you needed a multidisciplinary team approach for the surgery, which they can't do here. Or if they can, I'm not aware of it.
What would your message be to Manx Care? Because naturally we will go to Manx Care with this interview. We'll ask them some questions, but the most likely response they'll send back to us is they don't comment on individual cases. Well, what is your message to Manx Care?
Please listen to people who take the time to tell you their story and let you know of their experience, because we don't want to be going through any of this. The amount of time, you know, I get the impression that time to Manx Care doesn't mean anything. You know, the amount of years of experiences that I have lost, I've lost jobs, I've lost relationships, you name it, I've probably lost it at this point. And that doesn't seem to count for anything when it comes to any correspondence with Manx Care. And it is really sad.
And just finally, what keeps you speaking about this? Because this is the third year. Mm-hmm. You spoke to us the first time in March 2024. You came again March 2025. It's now March 2026, Endometriosis Month. Mm-hmm. Even after such a long time and a difficult journey, what keeps you going with this?
I guess I'm quite stubborn. It's probably that. And I don't want anybody else to go through the same story. It's not fair on anybody to have to live like this, and something needs to be done. And I don't know who else I can speak to. Thankfully, you guys at Manx Radio do listen. I don't feel like anybody else really does listen, so that is also why I keep coming back, because I feel like that's the only way I get heard.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.